de Mayo edition of the Big Red Lily Podcast, our first ever Cinco de Mayo edition of the Big Red Lily Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Lane, joined tonight by my good friend, Alex Stingle. How are you, man?
Hey, happy Cinco de Mayo
to you, Jacob. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Tell me, what would you be doing if there was no quarantine, no social distancing, anything like that? What would you be doing on Cinco de Mayo with Kate? What would y'all be doing?
Probably order Banditos. I'd say we'd probably still be home. I'm not even gonna act like we'd be out and about and stuff. I mean, it'd still be a Tuesday for me. As much as I do want to celebrate, the combination of Cinco de Mayo and Taco Tuesday, we'd probably just, you know, celebrate by, I'd say, ordering Banditos. My usual of the Surf and Turf, which is phenomenal. It is
that sounds amazing.
It's steak, shrimp, like Baja chipotle sauce, and then like rice and all this stuff. It's incredible. But either way, probably some weird Netflix shows or something.
Well, there's a ton of those right now.
Right.
If you're looking for weird Netflix shows, you are in the prime era of that. My wife and I, if we could go out and do whatever we wanted tonight, I think we probably would have had a date night with our daughter at El Nopal. We typically go up there I think most people go out to Mexican restaurants on Cinco de Mayo and just drown themselves in margaritas, and we would probably do the same thing.
And there's only about,
fantastic.
What, like 100 El Nopals around Louisville?
Right. Like, we got two within like 15 minutes of our house, so we're close distance. But instead, tonight I made some dope barbecue chicken tacos.
Yeah, they look phenomenal.
Marinated the chicken for a little over 24 hours, baked them, shredded them, and then some homemade coleslaw. It was fantastic with a spicy barbecue sauce on top.
Yeah,
some,
I'm very
some whiffle.
Very proud.
Shout out to Ryan guys.
Very proud, very jealous at the same time.
Well, look, when the FBI, I shouldn't say the FBI, when the NCAA comes knocking on your door on a Monday, on Tuesday, you got to enjoy some tacos. It's just, that is what it is.
I agree.
So let's talk about it. We've known for a while that the NCAA was going to be coming forth with a notice of invalidations for Louisville. So far, I think like four or five different programs from the FBI investigation have received those. I know NC State is one of them. Creighton is one of them. And there's a few others. And then obviously Kansas is the big one. They're the new Louisville in a sense.
Where do you want to start with Kansas, man? I mean, like everything they've done down from like the tip of the season has been like middle fingers to the NCAA. Like Snoop Dogg, Money Gun, strippers,
this, right?
Like you so, name it, it doesn't matter.
Let's compare Louisville, Kansas. Okay, so when it comes to Louisville, let's talk about what we expect Louisville to do, right? So we heard from Vince Tyree and Neely Bindapudi on Monday. Coming right out and basically saying, we're going to fight this, right?
Right.
So Louisville is saying, we're going to fight. We've done everything correctly. We're going to show that we are innocent in these areas, right? We're going to admit that we're wrong in these, but we're going to show we shouldn't be punished for these. Kansas gets a notice of allegations, and Snoop Dogg is at Midnight Madness. Stripper poles with strippers dancing on them. Call them adult dancers, whatever you want to call them. And then money guns on top of that.
I'm pretty sure he shot more money on the court than like Louisville ever gave like Katina Powell. Like I'm like there was plenty of money in that Snoop Dogg concert if you watch it, which I only did once because I just didn't want to see that again for the most part. But I will see. Somebody took a video of just the fan reactions because there's so many families in the stands and like there's like moms covering like faces of their kids and. And all that, and so you're like, oh, okay. Well, definitely family night at Hinkle Fieldhouse. So,
can you imagine showing up to that event?
So excited
to be in, and then it's that
preseason, like number one, number two. Oh my gosh, just bought my son a new jersey. All this stuff, and then you see Snoop Dogg and strippers, and you're like, right. What have we done?
So Louisville complies, they give the NCAA everything they need, they are willing to work with them, and they get hammered after self-imposing, whereas Kansas gets their notice of allegations, and they essentially tell the NCAA, hey, you know what you can do with that? You can go take it somewhere else, because we have nothing to say to you, nor will we ever. And so we've known that this was going to come, right? This is no surprise. In fact, I think this is probably – in a sense, this is like a bit of relief, right? It's finally kind of getting the last bit of that elephant in the room out of the way. Like, we've known for 2 years now, almost, Louisville was going to be punished somehow, some way, for their involvement, whatever you want to classify that as, you know, with Jordan Fair and Kenny Johnson. But they're going to be punished. And so this coming yesterday is probably the best thing in terms of getting the program back to the recruiting standards that you expect and being able to not have to worry about the negative recruiting of the FBI investigation, the NCAA punishment, and all of that. So I think personally, Alex, I don't know what you think. My first reaction is finally. Like, let's get this over with.
Yeah, finally. And then also, because one, we were always wondering about the timing of it. And then the other thing we were always curious was how was the administration, the new administration, going to react to it, right? And it was wild in terms of like the unison that everybody had in terms of Tyree, or is it? Yeah, in terms of Tyree and then and Ben Pudi. Everybody was on the same page. Even Chris Mack's tweet or statement, you know, in terms of we're fighting it. Like, it, everybody was on the same page from the get-go. And that was awesome to see. And just their immediate stance of we're not taking this crap anymore. We tried it your way the first time. Now we've seen the actual playbook and the roadmap of how to get out of something like this. And also, you know, it's wild to read the official notice of allegations and then hear like actual expert reaction and people that have like law degree backgrounds and stuff like that, because the more they talk about it, the less it makes sense. And there's so many people saying like, oh, it's a reach and all this stuff, because the level one violation, it seems like pretty generic in some spots. And like the entire argument itself, like the frame and position that the NCAA is taking in this, that you know, what, Adidas employees are technically boosters of the program. So, you know, in my mind, I heard from one guy online, like, lawyers have to be licking their chops right now at this argument that all of a sudden the NCAA's position on a shoe company is just a booster to a university in particular. Because if I'm not mistaken, Jacob, are we the only school with a shoe deal in college sports? Yeah, I don't know why I kept that was terrible. Wow.
Threw an extra S and an H in there. Sports. Yeah. Sports. Are we the only one? No, the last time I checked, Louisville is not the only school with a shoe deal for Nike or Adidas.
I mean, we got
there
a big one.
Plenty of those.
We have one of the biggest. I know that, but I'm pretty sure we're not the only one.
Right. You're exactly right. And it seems like I wrote this down in my notes yesterday as I was kind of reading through this and trying to, you know, take in all the information and react to it, is it seems like Louisville is the Adidas school here that is taking the fall. Say what you will about Kansas, but Kansas, I just have this feeling that Kansas is going to be the next North Carolina. They find a way to get away with what they did.
Right.
And then, you know, Louisville is the school that was punished a few years ago. They're a big school, they're a big name, and, you know, I don't even know how to get into this without sounding like the tinfoil hat conspirators of Nike running college basketball, but Nike runs college basketball because you have schools on record saying, we offered Zion Williamson $200,000 and he didn't come here. You mean to tell me that he went to another school and didn't take money? No. We know that Duke is paying players. Kentucky is probably paying players. We know LSU is paying players because of Will Wade not being smart enough to be able to control when and where he says stupid stuff. And here we are with Louisville doing everything that you could possibly do right, finding themselves that being the ones that are going to get punished. They're going to be the ones that take the brunt force of everything that's happened to the NCAA the last couple of years.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many different angles that I've heard in the last, like, 48 hours about this, and I feel like all of them can be kind of true to a degree. You know, like, I heard one radio guy the other day say, you know, the fact that, what was it, not only the timing of this, but the fact that this is still almost repercussions from the last dealing with us, that they don't think, you know, they still got what they wanted from the last major scandal, because the last one was, you know, unprecedented and unfathomable and repugnant and all these extreme terms that have never happened before in the history of college basketball. And they still, you know, maybe don't think they punished us enough. So maybe some of this is just them reaching for something, anything. And it's amazing to me that the fact that through all this and all the audio and all the findings and even talking about the scheme, which I definitely want to kind of involve in this because it's super recent, right? Like it just came out on HBO, not even like 2 months ago. And so it literally is ridiculous when you kind of factor that in and how the FBI just started this from the get-go. There's no Louisville coaches on wiretap here. Where are you seeing the violations of, oh, we have them red-handed? I mean, it's very, if your best argument on a level one violation is that you're somehow tying Adidas employees as representing the university when the university didn't even know about it.
Right.
That's the whole thing. So this argument and position from the get-go, I think Louisville's looking at this like, hey, we have a better shot at really going after this level one. And then also they can argue that these level two violations, if Rick Pitino did it, okay, well, guess what? He's one of your coaches at a different university that is currently active right now. So why don't you actually impose that on, you know, on the actual coaches themselves, because we cleaned house. I mean, that's the whole So, I mean, I know they're probably not going to, they're going to somehow mitigate that factor, like even though it's one of the biggest, because that's what they do best. But I think their level one argument, which should be the most serious, is almost the weakest, because it just doesn't make sense.
Right. My favorite is the level two allegation that the former men's basketball head coach did not satisfy his head coach responsibility. Okay. Well, guess what, guys? He is a coach at another school. So, like, it's not like you can't – he's not untouchable anymore. He has to talk to you, and you have to be – like, you have the ability to go after him. One of the two assistant coaches that's mentioned in the notice of allegations, guess what? He's coaching college basketball. He coaches at LaSalle. You can punish him. Why punish the school when the school has fired everyone involved with the scandal? Everyone that was here – that was reportedly involved is no longer employed by the school, including all the way up to the president of the university. So if you're talking about a school who has followed the steps of, here's what you need to do in order to get in good standing and take steps towards further compliance and being a good standing school, and yet the NCAA is going to look at that and be like, you know, you probably should have had money guns and strippers and your coach wearing a big chain. That might have actually kind of distracted us instead, because that's what seems to be going on. Like the schools the last few years who have told the NCAA, hey, look, this is what happened. This is what's going on. We want to work with you, are Louisville and Cal Poly. Cal Poly got destroyed over, I think it was like some books, some textbooks given to student athletes, given a, you know, multi-year ban and a loss of scholarships and all these crazy punishments. They did the same thing to Louisville, where you have schools that are essentially putting a middle finger in the face of the NCAA saying, we won't tell you a thing. And the NCAA is like, all right, cool. Well, we'll go punish the people who will work with us so that we can feel high and mighty and like we're all powerful. When they know that their athletes are leaving at a higher rate, the kids that are on campuses, they don't want to be in college. They would prefer to go and earn money professionally. The student-athlete model is falling apart. The NCAA is desperately clawing at something to make them feel high and mighty. And it's unfortunate that Louisville is the one that's going to be in the way of that.
And it's – well, one, it's amazing to me that, you know, that everyone keeps saying this essentially all happened from, like, Adidas just fumbling a payment, you know. Like, that's – it's insane that when you think about just how some things like crumble, like from such a small little detail. And it's amazing to me, to your point, that all these coaches, there's so much evidence from Nike schools about Nike schools, right? But they're doing it better. You know, I mean, if you think about it, like there's the whole system with the AAU and all that. I mean, like, they have it down pat, like you said. I mean, like, they're the ones.
They are the feeder system into college basketball.
Exactly.
Nike,
and I think
through the AAU circuit.
And I think Adidas kind of tried to come in and, you know, they didn't have the same network and infrastructure, and they still are trying to do the same things and compete for the same guys. And it's, you know, they're probably more sloppy, clearly. But,
well, and I mean, you saw it a few years ago with, I think it was 2016, the year before the whole Brian Bowen thing went down with Antonio Blakeney. He committed to Louisville on a whim, and you heard reports of his family being extremely unhappy with him to the point of being willing to tell him, you know, if you don't decommit, we're not willing to support you in this journey. Something to that matter. That's probably not the full truth, but something along those lines. And a big reason has to be because Nike was involved. They wanted him to go to a Nike school. He was a top prospect. If I had to guess, just based off of what I know of what's going on in the landscape of recruiting, probably got paid, right? LSU's been known to pay some players. I know that was Johnny Jones and not Will Wade, but like the shoe thing has been a big deal for a while, and we've seen Louisville lose kids because they just aren't, they can't get into the Nike circuit the way that other schools that are Nike affiliated can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kentucky and Duke have been made the powers of college basketball. They've won a lot of games, right? But they're the Nike brand and the semblance that those programs carry with that. I mean, they literally can go out and get whoever they want, and when they can't, they know that they have the powers that be to direct them via cash, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe that's a crazy accusation, but that seems how it goes.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's, you know, almost, you know, not cry wolf, I guess, but we can't really throw stones right now considering, like, our glass house is kind of shattered as well. So, I mean, it's not like you're far off, but at the same time, they did it worse, and, you know, once again, we're at the forefront of the spotlight. It also doesn't help that there's really no other sports going on besides, what, like the Korean baseball circuit or whatever that is?
Right, and maybe WWE and their little gym.
So I think this just gets compounded that much more at the fact that people just have literally all the time in the world to, like, tee off on this once again, and there's not really much of a news cycle to eat it up. Sports-wise, so I think that's something else that it's kind of unfortunate is the timing of it. But yeah, speaking of the timing of it, I mean, no one's back at school. 40 million people have filed for unemployment. Schools and universities are in peril in terms of budgets and what they're going to do for the future. We've already furloughed or fired, what, one-third or one-fourth of Louisville's athletic department. And other schools, smaller schools, I just saw online, I think it was Akron, they just literally shut down like 6 of 11 schools within their university. So, I mean, you're talking about colleges not even offering half their degrees anymore because of this whole thing. But somehow, you know, the NCAA hadn't found the time in the last, what, how many months? They had to provide a notice of allegations. So in terms of the timing, I think it's just one more thing that they also do on purpose. You know, I think it's no secret because there was a story out there that an NCAA employee was, you know, kind of blabbing on a plane about one of the verdicts they were handing down, to NC State, I think. That became a big story, and they purposely drug it out because that's literally part of the punishment. It is, you know, the longer this goes on, the more negative recruiting there is, the harder it is for Chris Mack to land these top guys. And then you have these Louisville fans that are complaining, you know, about him whiffing on all these recruits. And you've never been in that room. And Chris Mack has never been in that room, but he hears sometimes what other coaches say about him. And he hears sometimes what other coaches say about the program. And it's not, I mean, it's not good because there's plenty of ammo right now. And so to your point, yeah, let's be excited that this is getting going. Let's get excited that we're fighting it. But at the same time, we know essentially how this is going to go down. You know, we've been down this road before.
Yeah, we'd like to think that we know, but the NCAA is one of those organizations that the unpredictability factor is always at an all-time high when they're handing out verdicts in big cases. Because if you go back, you know, the last several years, right? So you have North Carolina completely botched that investigation. They ended up determining that they weren't going to punish North Carolina because other students were involved that weren't athletes. You go back to
Speaking of that, hold it right there. Pause. Speaking of that, that's another point. Immediately, the program hired the same law firm and the same lawyers to represent U of L in this case that had represented what? I think it was the exact same case, correct?
Similar. I mean, it wasn't academic fraud.
No.
It's not in this scenario, but it was then at North Carolina.
Yeah. So this guy is very familiar with fighting the NCAA, and he's done so successfully already, which is one more thing to be hopeful about. So to your point, yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do think that's a great point to bring up about your message.
Right. And so to get back to what I was saying was, so you have North Carolina and then you have Miami back in the early 2000s where the NCAA, their investigation was thrown off because of internal people being drug in it on both sides, under the Miami side, and cash payments being made and all these different things. And so eventually the NCAA had to say, you know, we can't make a ruling on this. And you know, Miami got away with a lot more than they probably should have. And one of the first things that I wrote down when I was going through and listening yesterday and reading some of the tweets from the media people who were watching this press conference was, and I wrote it exactly like this, do whatever you got to do to replicate what North Carolina did. And that's before I even knew that they hired Mike Glazer, who was the attorney for the North Carolina. And I think that there's a way of not being Kansas in how you approach the NCAA, but being more respectful,
right,
and also not being North Carolina and being completely naive to the fact that you committed academic fraud for a long time. Like, we're talking about Louisville, who fired and got rid of everybody. I can't stress that enough. They took care of the problem internally. And if you're not going to reward that in some form or fashion, well, then you better be ready for a fight, because – If you take that and you combine it with this whole trial that went down in New York and was just such a waste of money, where the ruling ultimately ended up doing nothing, and these people for things far less serious than what people go to jail for on a regular day basis are going to serve prison time because of a college basketball recruiting scandal. It's ridiculous, and Louisville is going to be the only school punished. And to what degree, I don't know, and that's what I want to talk about next is, so what's the worst case scenario here? I think that to the people that say death penalty, I think that's silly. The NCAA is in such a financial struggle right now, and with everything that's going on, taking the revenue away from a school like Louisville, who is one of your premier basketball schools, they're a premier football school to an extent. There's women's volleyball, women's basketball, baseball. Like, it goes on and on and on. How do you punish and deal with that? Like, I'm not exactly sure of how the NCAA can put them on a death punishment or anything like that when they can't handle the blow financially of that. Louisville's far too important. So I think it turns into how many years? What's the number? Is it one? Is it two? Is it five? Like, what does the NCAA do here?
I think it's going to be a combination of things. I think it could be a 1 year, postseason plus, maybe a scholarship reduction, or like, scholarships reduction, whatever that looks like. Right. I think they're going to, it really sucks in hindsight because, of the fact that, in terms of really getting in trouble, already being on suspension, that's the NCAA is going to be like, that's their big stressor. And that's their big leverage on this whole situation, is that you are already on suspension, and yeah, we're reaching to find something to stick on this, but you still had an assistant coach that was trying to get into some stuff,
right?
Some serious
stuff.
Yeah, and so there is going to be some repercussion, regardless of how well of an argument this lawyer and Louisville's defense provides. So in my mind, because it's such a high profile, this is dragged on for nearly this whole thing from the get go, for like 6 years, I think, by the time this is probably going to be over.
Yeah, when you talk about the lifespan of when it first started to now, I mean, you're talking about 2013, 2014-ish to 2020. So, yeah, right at 6 years. And, I mean, this has been since Louisville won the championship and the Sugar Bowl. went to the College World Series, this has been the narrative on who Louisville is as a program, completely glossing over all the success that they've had and all the years of all the good standing and things that they had built up. And,
right.
You know, Louisville, the new administration, the new coaching staffs, they've all taken, you know, a bit of the blowback of, you know, coming into a program that just honestly was in shambles from a PR standpoint. And they've rebuilt it, and yet here we are talking about, you know, a potential 2-year tournament ban, a potential 1-year tournament ban for a group of players and coaches and staff that literally had nothing to do with this. As a moral and good standing organization, I don't know how you can do that. I just don't. It makes zero sense in any form of punishment, law, anything like that. It makes no sense to punish people who had nothing to do with the crime.
I think, like, looking back, and I don't want to keep, you know, well, I guess Patino is kind of relevant in this whole situation, but I think that's what really, really broke him was the fact that he built his entire legacy, you know, on compliance and doing the right thing, doing it the right way, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just, you know, his reputation is ruined forever, or at least forever changed, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so. It is in Louisville, but right. But here you are talking about a school like Iona who
knowingly hired him.
Right, knowingly hired him, and it seems
like knowing this could happen.
It seems like Patino knew that there was no chance he was going to be punished because of the testimony under oath that he did not know. That's what he can stand on is, you know, sure, it all happened at Louisville, and I'm so sorry that the school has to go through that, but I did not know that it happened.
Well, because one of these level 2 violations, you know, apparently it's not just the coach anymore. It's the entire institution. Come to find out that the entire institution failed to adequately monitor the recruitment of an incoming high profile student athlete. So, you know, let's just keep going up. So, like, you know, okay. So I guess, like, to your point, firing the president from the top down, and they already know that, by the way, by the time these were written. So that's why,
way ahead of that, yeah. I mean,
that's why I don't have a whole lot of faith in this, our big argument that we cleaned house. Well, their argument is you cleaned house after you got caught on probation doing something. So I understand it from that it is a very serious thing. But then I also, you know, you think of that track record that the NCAA has. To your point, how many cases have they botched that have been already high profile? So it's not like they're perfect with these. They're not like the Southern District of New York that has, like, what, the 99 or 95% success, like, win rate with cases. Like, these guys, they go after people, but then they kind of fumble sometimes. You know, it's amazing to me that you would do this and still not have it locked up. And the way this is worded, especially the level 1 allegation, it's weird and it doesn't make sense. And it's generic in some parts. And they basically are just piecing together what they want, because there was a lot of audio and a lot of documents that came from the FBI in that case, and a lot of things they could have used. And so you're relying on, you know, one guy who's had a couple different stories and who has said a lot of different things, but you're basically picking and choosing what you want to use from him, right? Like, if you're going to use that guy as a standing thing to build a case on, well, all right, we can also use what he also said from this and from that. And I think to that point, Lowell's lawyers and is it Glazer? Is it Glazer or however you say it? But
yeah.
You know, I think he's going to have a really, really strong case by the way this is already being framed. That's my only hope, but at the same time, there will be a punishment.
There's absolutely a case here for an attorney who knows the ins and outs of law.
And knows the ins and outs of the NCAA.
Right,
like,
exactly.
And their capabilities.
It's somebody who has beat them, right. And they understand, okay, here's the gray area, here's where you operate, and here's what you can get
right.
away with.
They're not good at this.
You're exactly right, but the NCAA has never been an organization that does the same thing twice. Every school, every investigation, every punishment has been different. Some make no sense. Some are like, okay, well, why was there not more? And
we have a recent history with them.
Right. It gives me no faith in trusting that the judge is the prosecutor at the same time. It just makes no sense. The whole system is broken. And the day when the Power 5 or Power 7 in college basketball, whatever you want to call it, break away from the NCAA and do their own thing will be the greatest day in college sports, because the NCAA is the way that they operate is it's just ridiculous, in that they do whatever they want when they want. There's no operating bylaws. There's nothing that they stick by. They do what they want when they want.
Right.
And when they want to fix things, they fix things. And when they don't, they don't.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. So the fact that it's a voluntary organization, they have basically just turned into this, you know, power hungry, we do whatever we want mentality. And it's ridiculous, because when you think about it, when you do postseason bans, when you do things of that nature, it affects the economies of not only the university you're punishing, but also the locations in the towns and the economies of where that team could have gone, because right. You're punishing a very big fan base that will travel, you know? And so I don't think maybe they don't care of the repercussions sometimes of, you know, you're losing employees, you know, families hurt from this. Like, it's not just you're hurting, you know, the university or just the coach or whatever they think they're doing, you know?
Right. And all while turning their back on other organizations that have come in to the way that their system operates, and they've infiltrated it, and the NCAA is benefiting in some way or fashion. The NCAA would go after everyone and everything that was a part of any kind of cheating scandals if they could, but they choose actively to turn a blind eye, because if you think that Adidas is the only shoe company that is paying players and offering to help guide top level talent to schools, you're crazy. It's just not happening. Nike and maybe even Under Armour, some of the other big name schools. Like, I'm not trying to make any accusations here, but I think we can all agree that there's some form of cheating and paying players going on across the board. Maybe these new laws that the NCAA is passing, where, you know, players can pass or can earn money from their image and likeness, will help. But I saw a tweet today that says who says that LSU can't go promise recruit A that they can set them up with boosters who will pay them $1 million a year when they're in the recruitment process. That's absolutely going to happen. So I think we're only in the beginning stages of cheating, and Louisville's going to be the one that just takes the brunt force of the NCAA right now. There's so much out of their control, and this is the one thing they can't control.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, I don't know about you. I'm tired of talking about the NCAA. We have 90 days until Louisville's now it's 89 days until Louisville's reply back to the NCAA is due, and then from there we'll have 60 days for the NCAA to reply back and provide punishment. My guess is Louisville will not be banned from a tournament in 2021 in this next upcoming season. My guess is it would be the season after. But we'll see. You never know what the NCAA can do.